Church this evening. All right. Hang on just a second. That way I can explain to our visitors what all this foolishness is about. If you're a visitor here this evening, we've deemed tonight bus ministry night here at our church. As you've seen when you pulled in, we have a whole bunch of buses out here. We use them to pick people up and bring them to church, and it's an exciting ministry. So this whole night is all about the bus ministry. This is not what our church is usually like, but it's a little taste of what we're usually like. And so I sure do want you to enjoy your time this evening. When you came in, we were giving away gifts. We have bus banks, so you can save a little money and give it to the bus ministry. If you did not get one of these, now yours was probably flat when you received it, and mine's already folded out. So you can go after the service. If you did not get one of these, you can go to the table. There's a table set up in the foyer out here. Its purpose is that there's some tapes and CDs out there for sale tonight about the bus ministry, and you can get your bus bank if you did not get one. And Brother Nash is going to come and lead us in that chorus that you just heard, Bust Them In. Okay, let's all take our songbooks and stand and sing number 96, Bring Them In, and then when we hit that chorus, change it to Bust Them In. All right, but number 96 in your songbook, Hark is a Shepherd's Voice.
Hark is a Shepherd's Voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, or from the shepherd.
Greatest bus director is going to come and lead us in a song, Brother Bajan.
Okay, now listen up now. We're giving away a puppy dog tonight, all right? We're going to have a singing contest. So you're going to have to sing, all right? Now, we're going to start off with, hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. Here we go. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. Three more miles to go. Sing it. Three more miles to go. Three more miles to go. Hey, bus driver, speed up. One more mile to go. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. No more miles to go. No more miles to go. Sing it now. No more miles to go. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Speed up a little bit. Hey, bus driver, speed up a little bit. No more miles to go. Thank God the Sunday school teachers can have them now. Amen.
And if I could, please let me pray for us. Father, bless our service this evening as we focus our attention on a very important ministry here at our church. Thank you for the bus ministry. Thank you for every person that's been saved and every worker that has contributed. Bless our service, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. We want to find out if you're a visitor this evening, and I'm sure if you're a visitor, you think we're about half crazy. But let me correct that. We are all the way crazy around here. And so we want to find out who our visitors are this evening. I'm going to tell you how it's going to work. In a moment, I'm going to ask our visitors to stand. We're going to go one section at a time. We'll work our way all the way through the lower floor, finally arriving in the balcony. And we'll want to meet each and every one of our visitors. And so when we ask you to stand, our ushers will hand you a visitor's card. And you fill it out, put it in the offering plate when it comes by later. Remember, if somebody is sitting near you and you don't know who they are, meet them, please. That way you could introduce them if you're one of our regulars. And here we go. Are you a visitor sitting in this section right over here? If so, will you stand for us quickly so we can meet you and find out who you are. Brother Jamie. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We're glad that you're here. How about in this section right here? Are you a visitor? Please stand for us. And here we go. Brother Phillips. Great. Fantastic. Good to see you this evening. I'm glad to see you. And right back here. And we're glad your nephew's here. Thank you for being with us this evening. How about in this section right here? Are you a guest? Will you stand? And here we go, Brother Josh. Great. And we're glad that you're here, Mark. How about this section right here? Are you a guest this evening? If so, we want to get you introduced. Hope. And thank you for being here tonight. We're glad that you're here. Thank you, Hope. And this section right here. If you're a visitor, stand for us. I can't hardly see that jacket, Sean. All right. Brother Sean. Super. Thank you for being here from Erie. We're glad to have you. How about this section right over here along the wall? Are you a guest this evening? Will you stand for us? All right. We'll turn our attention to the balcony and a great crowd in the balcony tonight. Are you a visitor in the balcony? If so, will you stand? Okay, well, let's give our visitors a nice round of applause. Again, you'll have to bear with us. We're acting like we're on a bus for a little while this evening. And so we are going to have a bus game. Brother Bajan, Brother Nathan Mowry, come on.
All righty, we need a microphone here. We're going to do one of the most favorite games we do. Just about every bus captain's done this, and I've asked Nathan and Brother Leonard to help tonight. Brother Nathan, you take over.
All right, we're going to have the world's greatest tickle eating contest, and if you want to be in it, let me hear you say amen. What's that? I can't hear you. All right, my contestants are going to be, let's have Brother John Kidwell come on down. Let's have Brother Matthew Mackey come on down. Have our Travis Bishop come on down, buddy. And let's have Buck Christman come on down. Let's see who else is going to be our next contestant. Let's see. Let's have... He would probably be great, but no. Brother Brad Helmsley, come on down. And Brother Aaron Chris, come on down, buddy. Excuse me, what these gentlemen, what they're going to have to do is they're going to get one coaster dill pickle. What they're going to have to do is they're going to have to bust open their pack of Kool-Aid. And they're going to have, every time they take a bite of their pickle, they're going to have to dip the pickle into the Kool-Aid packet and take a bite. All right? Let me ask each and every one gonna be Brother Kidwell. It's gonna be Brother Chris. It's gonna be Brother Hollander. It's gonna be Brother Mr. Brother Brett Matsumaki. All right. All right, is everybody's packs open? Yes, sir. Yeah, there you go. Use your hands. That a boy. Woo! All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do the countdown. Let's count down from five, okay? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! All right, who's gonna win? Who's it gonna be? What? 2, 2, 2. Brother Chris, he's doing really great right now. Who's it gonna be? And the first one to say amen's gonna, and to eat it all, is gonna be our winner, okay? So make sure you say amen.
Okay, workers, my workers are going to help me here get these chairs down. The guys on the platform here, get that pulpit back. All right, now, where's our winner at? We've got a special prize for Brother Chris here. Just throw your gear in there, fellas. All the rest of you can have a seat. Now, let's see here. Brother Nate, you and Brother Leonard can help me get the prize out. Now, to any guy that can eat a pickle that quick with all that sweet stuff on it, he needs a year's supply of pickles. Amen? So we've got a year's supply of pickles for Brother Chris. All right. Now, that is if you eat one. Let's see. We've got one more jar. There we go. And you get the one that Buck stuck his finger down into.
Teenagers, you forgot. Come on, get with it. Where's my teenage helpers at? Time to throw candy. Come on, get every section now. Get the balcony. Get the choir loft. All right, get rid of all of it.
Hey, everybody have a seat on the bus. Everybody have a seat on the bus. And we are going to hear from our choir now. This is a song. It's entitled, let's see, Someone Cared. Because the bus ministry is all about caring about people.
No matter how I tried, I search for peace, but nothing satisfies.
And that is what the bus ministry is really all about. We have fun tonight. That's because on our buses, there are a lot of people out there that needs to know that somebody cares, somebody that can show them a good, clean, fun time. Someone cared. And Brother Bajan will come and lead us in another bus song.
Let's all stand, okay? We're going to sing the wheels on the bus go round and round, and then we're going to sing about four or five verses, and it's real quick. Let's go. Here we go. The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round, all the way to Sunday school. The driver on the bus says, move on back, move on back, move on back. The driver on the bus said, move on back, all the way to Sunday school. The babies on the bus go, wah, 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 wah. The babies on the bus go, wah, 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 all the way to Sunday school. The teens on the bus say, I'm too cool, I'm too cool, I'm too cool. The teens on the bus say, I'm too cool, all the way to Sunday school. The preacher on the bus says, get right with God, get right with God, get right with God. The preacher on the bus says, get right with God, all the way to Sunday school. All right, now, folks, we're gonna end our contest here with the singing now. Now, you really need, now, bus captains, you take your places right now, and we're gonna sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, remember, I want a bus captain in front of each section. All right, remember, Mrs. Kitzler, you're watching the balcony, and Brother Greenlee, you're watching the choir. Everybody's supposed to be singing here. Now, we're gonna sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I've got him on my, that's the prize right there, preacher. Okay? Now, my workers are going to be watching for the best singers, one out of each section, okay? All right, here we go. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Jesus, 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 I've got him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. Me too, too, too. All right, when you see me praying, I've got him on my mind. When you see me praying, I've got him on my mind. When you see me praying, I've got him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. Me too, too, too. All right, hold it for just a second now. Okay, workers, I want you to pick out the person you think sung the best during that, okay? Do it quickly. Go get him, Michael. Go get him. Go get him if you have to. We need him up here quickly, okay? We need him up here quickly. All right, we got William up here, okay? All right, I tell you what, stand him right here, a couple on this side, a couple over here. All right. Now, we got them all. We should have eight people up here. Should have eight people. All right, right up on top. Right up on top so everybody can see you. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to vote in just a minute. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, somebody's laying down on the job here. Yes. Here they come. Okay. All right. How many we got now? You going up on the platform. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Brother Greenlee, did you get one out of the choir? All right, we're missing one section. Here we go, right here. We got it? Okay, all right. Now, you all are going to sing now for us, okay?
Yeah.
When you see me smile, now just them, those people up there are going to sing. Now listen, you're the judges. I'm going to give you a chance to vote in just a minute, all right? Here we go. Are
yeah,
you ready?
Look at what you're going to win.
Yes, okay, here we go. Ready?
It's already house broke.
When you see me smiling. When you see me smiling. When you see me smiling, I've got him on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. All right, you think we need to do one more verse? All right. When you see me reading the Bible, okay, when you see me reading. When you see me reading, I've got it on my mind. When you see me reading, I've got it on my mind. When you see me reading, I've got it on my mind. Oh, I've got Jesus on my mind. All right, now it's time to vote. All right, we're going to vote for Mrs. Walter. Mrs. Walter York, okay? Let's hear it for Mrs. York. All right. Mrs. Chrisman. Ooh. Mrs. York, you can go sit down, all right? That was better. Okay, William. William, all right. Mrs. Chrisman, you can go sit down. Brother Danny. All right, Danny, go sit down. All right, I don't know this young lady's name right here.
Ms. Farmerbacher.
Okay, let's give her a hand. What do you think? William still got you. Mrs. Nash. All right, ma'am, you may go be seated. All right, Mrs. Wolford. Ooh. William, come on over here, buddy. Come on over here. We're going to have to go one more time here. Right here, William. Come on, William. On up here. All right. Let's vote for William. All right. Mrs. Nash.
Mrs. Wolford. Hey, you know what, William? You got it, buddy. All right, let's go over and get this doggy. Come on, pal. Right over here. Can you carry that? Let's give William a big hand, all right?
And as the ushers are coming, I need Brother Nathan Mowry to make his way to the platform. Brother Nathan's going to pray for our offering this evening. Brother Nathan, wherever here he comes. Brother Mowry has been a member of our church for the last 2.5 years. He lives here in Martinsburg, and he works for Potomac Properties Management. And his bus captain for Route 8. And that route goes down to Winchester, Virginia. He's Sunday school teacher for the ninth grade. He's assistant Sunday school teacher for the ninth grade boys class. He works in junior church. He helps in King's Kids. And he helps Brother Lopez set up for school for Monday mornings, because we have the gym tore apart on Sundays. And here's a guy that's full of energy. I am so glad that Brother Mowry's a part of our team. Whatever he does it with his whole heart. And I just thank God for him. He's going to pray for our offering at this time. And when he says amen, you may have a seat. Brother Mowry, pray for us, if you will.
Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Lord, I sure am thankful you allowed me to wake up this morning and be able to be a part of it. Lord, all the things we got to see and all the things that you allow us to do, Lord, we love you. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for my preacher, Lord, what a mighty man he is, and all the assistant pastors and all the great people that make up this church, Lord. I sure do love you, and I sure do thank you for just allowing just what goes on here. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, you just sink the truth of just reaching people on buses, Lord, for your sake, Lord. Lord, we sure do love you, and I sure am thankful, Lord, that what a blessing this church has been and all the people, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you just bless the offering tonight, Lord. I pray that you multiply it, and Lord, most of all, Lord, I pray that people will get saved as a result, Lord. We love you. This is all for you. Lord, I pray that everything is said and done here tonight, Lord, that is done out of love and for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Offering, but I need to make some announcements. Also, if someone, Brother Tennis, if you could direct that we get a couple of glasses of water up here on the pulpit. There are none. And if we could get those, please. And let me make some announcements to you, if I could, please. Out in the hallway, I mentioned this already. If you did not get your bus bank this evening, we have a free one for everyone. What we'd like for you to do is take that, shove a little change in it from time to time, and then you can bring it in. You get it to us, and we'll designate it toward the bus ministry, and you take it to the offices, you get it to Brother Bajent, but we would love to have your help with that. Also, on the table out here, there are two different sermons. One, it's called a message by Dr. Jack Lyles called Church Buses in the Bible, and you'll enjoy hearing that. Now, I think there are only 100 of those back there. They're all on CD, and they're only $2 tonight. That money will go toward our bus ministry. And then another sermon that you'll need to hear. We're hoping that a few of you will get excited enough that you're willing to join the bus ministry tonight. And if that happens, we have a tape back here, both on tape and on CD, a sermon that's called Help, I Need Role Models. You see, in the bus ministry, those that are workers are role models. And there's a teaching on that tape that tells you what you ought to do to step up and be a role model. And I think there's only 15 of those on CD and 15 of those on tape. All of them are $2, and you get back there, buy them up after the service, and all the money will go toward the bus ministry. Then, this Wednesday night, we'll have church at 7 p.m., as usual. Of course, it is the kickoff of our missions conference. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Soul winning will be on Tuesday of this week at 6:45 because of our missions conference. Don't forget about that. Then, because our missions conference starts on Wednesday, those of you that made promises last year in regard to your missions giving, you need to get your missions giving taken care of tonight and Wednesday night to conclude your year of your promise. So don't forget about that. Now, of course, starting Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we'll have our missions conference. And actually, the conference will start at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, because right here in this auditorium at 10 a.m., we'll be having a missions speaker. And most of our school will be here, and the entire congregation is invited to be here. So it'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and then again on Thursday and on Friday at 10 o'clock. You're all welcome to come right here to the auditorium. Now, you'll want to sit in these four main sections right here, but you come on in and make yourself at home. Wednesday night at 7, we'll have our missions conference then. Our keynote speaker for Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night is Dr. Mike Cox. I promise you, he is a fireball preacher, and you'll enjoy hearing him. Then, also on Wednesday night, Missionary Byron Willis from Panama will be with us. Thursday night, Brother Jeffrey Smale will be speaking with Brother Cox, and then Brother Brian Clemenson from the Agape Boarding School in Stockton, Missouri will be speaking on Friday night, each one of the men speaking during the day as well. The Agape Boarding School is a school for wayward boys, and they now started a school for girls, but they'll have a group of their boys here, and they'll be singing for us Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night as well. Now, we try to spoil our speakers when they come in here, and I often bring to you their favorite candy. All the men just say they like chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. So you get them some chocolate, and they'll enjoy that. Now, this is exciting. This is from Mrs. Sandy Domily, and it says this: an exciting new opportunity for ladies to go soul winning is starting Tuesday, March the 7th. Ladies soul winning will be held every Tuesday from 1 until 3 p.m. Ladies will meet in room 224. Right here at the church. A nursery will be provided. The meeting will include a brief challenge and then a time of soul winning training. So you say, I'm not real sure about what to do in regard to soul winning. You're going to be learning little tidbits about soul winning. And then when we pair you up and send you out with someone, if you don't know for sure what to do, Mrs. Domily, she'll help you. She'll put you with somebody that knows what they're doing so you won't be embarrassed about it. But that is an exciting ministry. Thank God for it. And some of you ladies, that works out just perfect. Some of you, your timing for picking the kids up at school, and you'll have a good time. Then I want to remind you, if you were not in the service this morning, Martinsburg Christian Academy, we're taking a day off tomorrow, so we have canceled school tomorrow. Already made the announcement this morning, but our school has been so very, very busy and have had a wonderful, wonderful basketball season, but they've been so busy. And then in addition to that, of course, with Soul Winning Tuesday night and our missions conference Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And also, I told you, it was in honor of the passing of one of my favorite people in the world, Don Knotts. Barney I hope he went to heaven. I'm just hoping, but I teased about that this morning, but we're taking a day off tomorrow. So both students and parents, I hope that is good for you. Now, we come to the part of our evening where we want to do something a little different. If I could very quickly, I need Mrs. Phyllis Wolford to come to the platform. Phyllis, if you'll come up here for me. Brother Bajan. Mrs. Wolford, if you'll stand right here, and if, folks, you may, if you'd like, have a seat. It's going to take just a moment or two here. Mrs. Wolford has been in the bus ministry for right at 30 years, and she came to see me not long ago, and for a reason, I have counseled her that it would be time that maybe she would make a little change, and she's going to get a little more involved in Sunday school and some things like that, and I'm very excited about this. You'll go long and far to find a lady that would give 30 years of her life in the bus ministry. Young ladies, let me tell you, this is the quality person that turns out heroes, and she is heroic in the way that she's handled herself all these years. The only time that she's not been in our bus ministry here was there was a time when our church had difficulties many, many, many years ago, probably before most of you, where the bus ministry needed to be shut down for a little while. And that's the only time. So for 30 years, she's built several bus routes, two in Martinsburg, one in Shepherdstown. Mrs. Wolford, Mrs. Lawrence, and Mrs. Bajent built one of the routes here in Martinsburg. And everybody thought that they were sisters. Can you imagine that? She has been on route number one for 10 years. I know that she was accepted into the Church Bus News 100 Club just a couple of years ago, where she had over 100 people come to church on one bus route. She also helped with that we used to have a bus breakfast here at the church many years ago. Her daddy, Frank Shepherd, drove for her bus for a while. John Chapman drove one of her buses for a while. Get this, we figured up how many people this dear lady has brought to church over the years. She has been responsible for bringing 40,000 people to church in her day. And so, this evening, Brother Bajan is fired, and we're hiring Phyllis to be our new bus director. Phyllis, Mrs. Owens has something she wants to give you this evening. Just because you'd say that, you do. And then, Brother Bajan has a little something he wants to give Phyllis this evening. And then finally, I have a plaque I'd like to give Phyllis. It's a picture of our red, white, and blue bus, and it says this. This award is presented to Phyllis Wolford for excellence as a bus captain in the bus ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for 30 years. We express our gratitude for your courage and fortitude in obeying God's command to go into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in that God's house might be filled. Thank you, Mrs. Wolford, for being one of the best bus captains on the face of the earth. It's dated 2006, and I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm very proud of you, and I know the Lord's proud of you, and there's an awful lot of people that are going to be in heaven because you were a faithful bus worker. That's a real hero for you, right there. Thank you so much. If you'll have a seat for a second, I want to take just a moment. I'll only but mention it. Our bus garage is down here, and we call it the Osherman Bus Garage. And many, many years ago, the Oshermans kind of started our bus ministry. They had an old station wagon that had on the side of it some old woody panels. And the Oshermans went out and started picking people up and filling up that station wagon. And I just thank God. If some of you will remember, a couple of Thanksgivings ago, we honored the Oshermans for helping to start our bus ministry. And we named our bus garage down the Osherman Bus Garage. And so thank God from that little beginning, an old station wagon packed full of kids to bring them to church, to, I think, when you pulled in tonight, you've seen the fleet of red, white, and blue buses out here. Thank God for the people who have invested. Now, You cannot run a bus route unless you have bus drivers. So I'm going to ask the following men if they will come forward. These are our bus drivers, both full and part-time drivers. If you'll come forward for me, please. Ronnie Shiflett, Chris Edwards, Tom Williamson, Tim Brown, Evan Barnes, Jim Hartman, Darren Smith, Paul Fisher, Chuck Little, Mike Schoneberger, Bill Stanley, Carlo Leto, Gary Shiflett, Buck Chrisman, Rich Stoltz, Mark Rogers, Damian Segura, and Ed Merritt. You men will just come on up here on the platform with us for a second. Now, let me tell you something. These guys got to get out there and get those buses started. They have to be here on time. Sometimes it's cold. Then you ought to try to drive a bus with 40 or 50 people making all sorts of racket and picking their nose, and it's just amazing. But there, you know something? A bus can't run unless these men show up to drive that bus. And again, I thank God for these men. Men, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for helping us. It's a team effort to get the job done. And if it were not for you, those buses would not run. And so you men understand something. Every time you bring young people and you bring people into church, and during junior church or primary church or this church service, somebody gets saved, you had a part in it. When you get to heaven, somebody's going to walk up to you and they're going to say, thank you for bringing me to church. Because had you not driven that bus, they would have not been here. Had they not been here, they would not have been saved. Brother Bajan, I think we have a gift for these men. You want to direct it?
Men, we love you, and it's a thrill to my heart to see you guys come on the parking lot, get into the vehicles, and drive down the road. Now, right on the front of the steps here, there's some baskets with some goodies. We know you all like to eat. We'd love to give you more, but you know what? When you get to heaven, boy, it's going to be worth it, ain't it? Amen? So if you guys, when you go down, if you take one of those, and I really appreciate you. God bless you.
Yeah, give them a hand. Amen. And I think, let's see, is Mrs. Edwards here tonight? I think Brother Chris Edwards is not feeling well. All right, Mrs. Edwards, is Brother Chris still under the weather? Okay, Brother Bajan, why don't we take this right over there? The Edwards have their own full pew over there. And you take that over to them, and you give our regards to Brother Edwards. Then, of course, there are a lot of people that work in our bus ministry here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask some of you to stand. For instance, I want all those drivers that just stood, I'd like for, or that just came forward, stand for me for just a moment. If you're a driver, stand. Bus captains, if you would stand for just a moment. Now, okay, everybody listen for a second. Now, I'm going to introduce to you the workers off the different routes. Now, workers, you're going to have to help me, because when I mention your route, if you're yelling and screaming, everybody's not going to hear the names. And I'm glad you're full of energy, and I'm glad you're full of sugar, and I'm glad we don't have school tomorrow. But you listen, when I call your name, I want these workers to stand. Off of Route 1, Marissa Millirons, Jared Morris, Rita Kistler, and Devin McCauley. Off of Route number 2, Damian Segura, Gabriel Young, Sarah Young, Betsy Greenlee, Matt Whitman, Tamitha Whitman, and Megan Ainsley. And Route number 3, Megan Korbeiser, Chuck Fleming, Raymond MacArthur, Autumn Lowther, and Jared Moore. Route number 4, Jerry Graham, Bettina Graham, Morgan Graham, Tyler Brown, Alicia Hall, and Matthew Leonard. Route number 5, John Barnes, Tony Barnes, Daniel Stoltz, Caleb Leto, and Danny Hill. Route number 7, Josh Bush, Megan Damude, Michelle Hartman, Bethany Hill, Ron Howard, Rachel Stoltz. Route number 8, Richard McDonald, Teresa McDonald, David Stoltz, and Danny Conaway. Route number 9, Nathaniel McClain, Robin Kent, Ricky Myers, Carrie Martin, Jenny Martin, Sarah Martin. Route number 10, Sarah Stanley, T.J. Greenlee, Ben Stanley, Michelle Hall, and Art Greenlee. Route number 11, Sean McLean, Crystal McLean, Christine McLean, Kayla Bramer, and Stephanie Merritt. We have some others that help with the bus ministry. Steve and Linda Barber, if you'll stand. Aaron Chris, Jason Conaway, Patrick and Rachel Maynard, and Gary Martin. And I'll tell you this, Brother Gary Martin loves the bus ministry. He, because of his health, has had to step away from his bus route. But that guy right back there, I'll tell you, he's somebody that will go down in history for his love for the bus ministry, and I thank God for him. I would like for us to give all of these workers, captains, and drivers a hand this evening. God bless you, folks. And you can have a seat. The next thing we want to do tonight is we're going to honor someone. Every church has its very own Barney Fife. We have an award tonight that we're calling the Jehu Award. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse number 20, it says this, "And the watchman told, saying, He came even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he was driving furiously." It's biblical. Well, we have our very own maniac driver. I need Evan Barnes to come forward. Brother Barnes, we have an award for you. Brother Barnes single-handedly is driving our insurance rates up around here. Oh, about once every 4 or 5 months he has an accident. Brother Barnes, we have for you an award this evening. Thank you so much for teaching all our other drivers how not to do it. Then, I want to take a moment, and I would like to say this, just like earlier we said that you can't really be successful and have a successful bus ministry without a driver. God knows if it were not for what we call bus captains, we would not have leadership on our buses. And so I need the following folks to come forward, if you will, please. Levi Hall, Brother Bajan, Edmund Korbeiser, Keith Leonard, Dwayne Phillips, John Doss, Nathan Mowry, Mrs. Chris Cave, Art Greenlee Sr., and Mike McLean. Now, again, I want to thank you folks. And to these folks that are standing here on the platform, let me tell you something. Those of you that not have been around the bus ministry much, you don't know the sacrifice. These folks are in here early on Saturday. They go to a bus meeting. They spend a Saturday visiting and going out and getting prospects for their bus route. They tend to the needs of their workers. Then Saturday nights, they're organizing a bus route so that the driver has a way to drive. They spend so much of their own money, their own time, their own gas. And then again, they're the first people on this property on Sunday morning. Rain, hail, sleet, snow, we run those buses because people need to be brought to church. They get here bright and early before some of you are even out of bed. They're getting their buses all warmed up, cleaned up, and ready to go. And for an hour, they sing and put up with all the kids being rowdy. They bring them to church. They get in trouble when their bus kids misbehave in church. They put them on the bus after church. And when you're already done eating your lunch and you sit down or lay down to take your nap, they're not even back on the church property yet from delivering their kids home. These are great people. These are great people. Brother Bajan, I'm going to ask you to distribute these for me. We have here a gift certificate for each one of you, and we want to send you to Cracker Barrel, and maybe you could enjoy a little bit of a meal. And then also, I want to tell you this. I believe these people standing on the platform with me, I believe they're royalty. These are, to me, very, very admirable and royal people. So, Brother Bajan, we have something else we're going to give them. We're going to crown them as kings and queens. Are the kings and the queens of the bus ministry. Thank God for them. And we are going to sing another bus song, My Bible I Left on the Church Bus. Brother Bajent.
Okay, I'll leave you seated this time, okay? My Bible I left on the church bus. My Bible I left on the seat. My Bible I left on the church bus. Oh, bring back my Bible to me. Bring back, oh, bring back my Bible to me. Bring back, oh, bring back my Bible to me. I don't think we ought to do another verse. We'll have the wave going here in a minute, okay?
Okay, I hope you're having a good time. I want you to remember something. It's all about going out and reaching people. All about you. If you're here tonight and you say, oh, this is silly. You know what? There are people that will go off to some rock concert. They'll get drunk, they'll get high, and they'll act like fools. And then folks will say, oh, look at them just having a little fun. I tell you what, this is what real fun's all about. Honoring people that care about others, that are wholesome and decent, and thank God for it. Well, in this time of spending a moment of honor, it wouldn't be right if we talked about the bus ministry without spending a second talking about Dr. Mike Bajent. Yeah. Amen. Yes, amen. Okay, have a seat if you will. Brother Bajent has been in the bus ministry for 33 years. 210,000 people have been brought to this church under his direction through the bus ministry. He himself is a bus captain. In our church, the bus ministry, he's been in the bus ministry since 1974. Brother Bajent, if you'll come up here for a second, I have just a little gift or two I'd like to give you. First of all, anybody that knows Mike Bajent knows that Brother Bajent likes to hunt. He is the original deer slayer. And so, Brother Bajent, I have two movies that are going to help you. The first one is Bambi. And then, Bambi 2. I feel like if you watch those, they'll remind you of the deer that you shoot most of the time. And then, Brother John Doss, who is our assistant bus director, he has something he would like to give Brother Bajent. Brother Doss, you come.
Brother Bajent, I felt like we as bus workers and bus captains need to do a little something for you. Your life's verse, I understand, is Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So basically to me, a man so faithful, his life's verse talks about the faithfulness of God. And thank God we have a bus director that has been faithful to the Lord for 33 years. You've been a great example to me and to all of us. And we thank you for that. It's a little gift card. We know you love ice cream. So there's a little Dairy Queen ice cream gift card for you. And we love you, Brother Bajent. And Brother Grinley has some gifts for you there. We love you, Brother Bajent.
Amen. Then, Brother Bajent, I have a letter for you, and this is a letter from Dr. Jeff Fugit. Brother Fugit is now the editor of the longtime newspaper called the Church Bus News. Many years ago, a man by the name of Dr. Wally Beebe, who was called Mr. Bus, edited the newspaper. And Brother Fugit sends this message to you. It says, "Dear Brother Bajan, what a joy to hear of a man's testimony of 33 years in the bus ministry. Only heaven will tell the number of souls and the godly influence that one man can have in a lifetime that has been given to the Lord as yours has. I congratulate you and thank you for your testimony. I've asked Dr. Owens for your picture and story so I can feature it in the Church Bus News newspaper in the May issue." And this is for you. And then finally, Brother Bajan, we want to do something else for you. And so we are going to the 35th Annual Bus Convention that will be held in Lexington, Kentucky. It is on October 9, 10, and 11 of 2006. It is at Brother Fugit's church. We are going to fly both you and Mrs. Bajan down there for 3 days. We're going to fly you there. We're going to pay all your expenses, put you up in a nice hotel. And I think that that will be a wonderful three-day vacation and a little time that the two of you can spend together. We appreciate you. Amen. Thank God. If you'll have a seat, let me say this. I really believe that this is just a little bit what heaven's going to be like. I think in heaven, as God begins to give out the rewards, I think He's going to call some people out of the shadows, and He's going to say, "Let me tell you about this person. Let me tell you what they've accomplished." Thank God for our bus ministry. Thank God for what He's done in this place and in other bus ministries across the country. I watch churches shut down their bus ministries, and they give up on their bus ministries. Well, here, we'll do what we can to keep bus ministries alive. We'll be an example of a living, thriving bus ministry, and we'll encourage churches across America to do the same. Brother Bush is going to come. He's going to lead us in our scripture reading. I'll ask that you do this. We're going to calm down a little now. We're going to get a little more into the serious part of our service this evening. So if you will, please take your Bibles, and Brother Bush will direct us to a passage of scripture for this evening.
Please take your Bibles and stand and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Read verses 18 through 25 together. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. Read this passage responsively. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 25. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers disease and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a church that believes in reaching people, for a church that cares about what some would say no one else cares about. Lord, they're so much like those that you lived for and died for. Father, please fill us with your power. Fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. May we please you with all that we do this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
As this trio comes to sing, I want you to know that all three of these ladies were reached through a bus ministry. I realize that for me just to be standing in the pulpit at this time, that the hour is late. But I'll promise you that this service will not go much more than, if you give me maybe 10 extra minutes tonight, I'll have everything done, I promise you. But to me, a service like this evening is a special service. We've seen some wonderful things. You've just heard some wonderful music. It would be wrong if we didn't hear from the wonderful Word of God. Please listen to me as I talk to you about God's bus ministry. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Here the Bible says that God told these men, I want to make you fishers of men. We used this passage of Scripture earlier today. And just a moment ago, you read together with Brother Bush a story of some people that were by the Lake Gennesaret. And here's what happened. Verse number 2 tells us that these people were standing by a lake, and by that lake there were two empty ships. Two ships just floating there, totally empty. In verse 3, Jesus gets in a ship and he pushes out from shore and he uses it like a platform or a pulpit. So you've got these people on shore and then you've got Jesus in the ship, and Jesus uses that ship and he preaches from that ship. In verse number 4, after his sermon, Jesus says to Peter, "Now, I'm going to help you do some fishing." Well, Jesus says, "I want you to let your net down over here." Peter says, "Well, we've been fishing all night and we've not caught anything, but nevertheless, according to your word, Jesus, we'll cast the net where you tell us to." They cast their net and suddenly they had a net full of fish. The net was so full that it began to break. In verse number 7, they yell to their fellow workers in that other ship. Remember, there were two ships, and they yell to the other ship and say, hey, you guys, come over here. We've got so many, we don't know what to do with them. Help us to get our fish into the port. Help us to get our fish into the dock. The Bible says they caught so many fish with that net. They filled those ships, and the ships began to sink because there were so many fish in those ships. The Bible says in verse 8 and 9, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished at all that were with him at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. Peter said, I've never seen it like this before. We're catching so many fish. I mean, we filled my ship and we filled their ship and it's full. What are we going to do? Look at how productive we've been. Then, listen to what Jesus says in verse 10. "So is also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Thou shalt catch men. You know what Jesus just taught Peter? He taught Peter the boat ministry. Say, what do you mean? He taught him the boat ministry. You see, Jesus compares what Peter had just done in bringing in all sorts of fish in one vessel. He was saying, "I want you to do the best you can to go out and reach a whole bunch of people." And he taught him the boat ministry. Now, we don't have a boat ministry here. You know what we have? We have a bus ministry. We have a bus ministry. But Jesus had taught the boat ministry. He said, "I'm going to make you fishermen. You can use a boat. You can fill that boat full of people, and you can bring those people to me or to Jesus Christ by filling that boat." I have a friend. His last name is Larson. He is a missionary in Africa, and they don't have buses in Africa. They use canoes, and you know, they actually have a boat ministry. They have boat 1 and boat 2 and boat 3, and they cheer for their boat captains, and they have a boat ministry, just like Jesus taught here. They go into the little channels, and they find people, and people load onto their boat, and on Sunday morning, I don't know if they have boat drivers like we have bus drivers, and they have boat captains like we have bus captains, and they have boat workers like we have bus workers, but they fill up their boats and they bring people to Jesus Christ. The great D.L. Moody from Chicago, Illinois, he didn't run buses, but they had carriages and they had wagons, and they would get a horse and they would take an empty wagon, and a man would be in charge of that horse and wagon, and they would go through the cities, and they would pick up little boys and girls and bring them into church on those carriages or in those wagons. I don't know. I know of missionaries. They don't have buses, but they have what they call jeepneys. It would be like a very durable, like a Land Rover, if you will. And they start jeepney ministries. Like a bus ministry. And I have seen pictures where someone would take one jeepney and have 30 to 40 people ride that thing into church. You say, that's dangerous. I realize that's dangerous, but I've seen them. People just hanging off of those things, and they cram them on there so the people could get to church. What is that? That's their bus ministry. That boat ministry in Africa, that's their bus ministry. That carriage or wagon ministry of D.L. Moody many years ago, it was his bus ministry. Now, today we have the bus ministry, but I'll tell you something. Someday, you might hear somebody having a spaceship ministry. Why? Well, it's a mode of transportation. Somebody someday may have a spaceship, and they're going to take it out and pick people up and pack their spaceship full. And they'll have spaceship number one and route number two and route number three, and they'll have spaceship drivers, and they'll have spaceship workers and spaceship captains, and they'll bring people to Jesus Christ. But you can trace it all the way back to when Jesus said to Peter one day, you see that boat right there? You see how we filled it up with fish? I want you to go out and fish for men. And if Peter caught it, Jesus was saying, bring him to me in mass numbers and try to get people saved and use some form of transportation to get the fish into the church. And that's why we have a bus ministry. I want to talk to you about the bus ministry for a little while. I'm not going to be wild. I'm not going to be loud. But I'm going to say some very practical things about the bus ministry. For instance, the bus ministry is a soul-winning ministry. Our workers go out soul-winning every week and telling others about Jesus Christ. You know something? I don't understand churches that say they love the Lord and they don't have people walking the aisles getting saved. I don't understand churches that altar call after altar call after altar call. Nobody gets saved. Maybe they'll have a revival for 1 or 2 weeks out of the year and get a little handful of people saved. I don't know how many people we had walk the aisle today, but you've seen it. The altar was full. The baptismal waters were troubled. There must have been 6 or 7 adults saved today. Probably 8 or 10 children saved today, and it wasn't a special day. It's like that every week, and that's what churches are supposed to be doing. What are churches doing? Calling themselves churches, and nobody gets saved there. You say, oh, that makes me feel uncomfortable. What in the world is the church all about? There's a hell, and people need to get born again, and churches ought to be doing something about it. So the bus ministry, it's a soul-winning ministry. Our workers go out and get people saved. They win people on the bus. Maybe a visitor gets on that bus. They'll take their Bible out and tell them about Jesus. Our bus riders get saved in junior church. They get saved in primary church. They get saved out on the streets on visitation. They get saved on the bus ride. They get saved right here in big church. But thank God for it. We have little ones saved. We have big ones saved. We have young ones saved. We have old ones saved. The bus ministry is a soul-winning ministry. How many of you were reached through a church bus ministry? Raise your hand. I want you to look around. Thank God for it. God bless you, folks. Thank you very much. You see, the bus ministry is a soul-winning ministry. That's why we're for it. Secondly, it is a mass soul-winning ministry. It reaches the multitudes. You know, when our captains go out, they bring people back into the church by the scores. I've seen where farmers will take a bus and they'll clear all the seats out of it, and then they'll cut the back end, the roof off the back end of it, and they turn it into like a trailer or a wagon, and then they'll bale hay in it. Anybody ever see them take a bus and use it to bale hay? You know what they're doing? They're harvesting the crops. Well, I got something even better to do with those buses. Let's harvest the crop of all the people that need to be born again. Let's harvest that crop. Let's fill those things up with people. Thousands of people are saved because of the bus ministry. I checked Dr. Wally Beebe, Mr. Bus in America. He's passed away. He's with the Lord now. He said the average church bus in America averages 48 riders. That's the average church bus in America. A bus's capacity is somewhere between 40 and 60 riders. Thank God for that. Every seat is a seat where somebody that needs Jesus Christ can sit and get free transportation to church. You know, just so you understand it, we spoke of Phyllis earlier. She's had over 100 people on one bus route. I know people that have 200 people on their bus route and 300. I know some that had as many as 600 on their bus route. You say on one bus? No. Their bus route got so big they need to give them 2 buses for that route, and then 3 buses for that route, and 4 buses for that route. The sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. And not to be arrogant, that is not my intent. But I remember when I was a 16-year-old boy, as a bus captain, I was running 60 or 70 on my bus route. You know something? There are all sorts of people out there that need Jesus Christ, and you go out and get them, and you love them, and you visit them, and it is a mass, it's a way to reach the masses with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we have a bus ministry. It's a soul-winning ministry. That's why we have a bus ministry. It's a way to reach the masses. Thirdly, it helps us to fulfill the Bible command to reach and to love the poor. Not all, but many of our bus drivers are poor people. Now, we have many that are from middle-class American homes, but many of them are not. They live in terrible conditions. They live in terrible situations. And the Bible tells us we're to be reaching the poor. Let me say again to churches across America. How many poor people come to your church? Well, bring those poor people in there. I mean, that might make the congregation look poor. Will you tell me where in the Bible it says the congregation's supposed to look rich? We're snooty. We're arrogant. The church was not created for rich people. If a church really cared, they'd be going out there reaching poor kids. And I'm not talking about three of them to make it look good. I'm talking about reaching everybody they can for Jesus Christ. Definitely you're going to find those people out there that need our transportation are spiritually poor because they're not born again. There are a lot of children out there whose parents wouldn't bring them to church. Well, thank God we've got bus workers that go out and bring little boys and girls to church where mom and dad wouldn't bring them to church. Thank God. You don't understand. Thank God for a bus worker that knocks on the door on Saturday and says, please, I'd like your little boy or your little girl to come to Sunday school. And a daddy stayed out getting drunk, spending all his paycheck on Saturday night, too drunk to get up and bring his kid to church on Sunday morning. Thank God for a bus worker and a bus captain that go by and get them. Thank God for it. We're commanded to love and reach the poor. You say, Brother Owens, those bus kids, they dirty our restrooms around here. Well, do you think that your presence makes our restroom cleaner? Well, not at all. Sure, they'll mess up the property a little bit. They've not been taught. They've not been trained. But let me tell you something. If we can get them saved and get them baptized and we can teach them, they can grow up to be decent Christian citizens and they have a right to. Jesus just didn't die for the middle class and he didn't just die for the rich people. He died for every one of us. And souls, they're not at different values in the economy. Every one of them is somebody Jesus died for. Rich churches get too arrogant for bus kids. And I'll tell you something. That's one reason why when we build our new building, we're going to build it so common people feel comfortable here. I don't want to make it so elaborate that when bus riders and people come in, that they feel uncomfortable, like they don't fit in. Oh, we'll have nice things. But I'll tell you, we better keep ourselves common, folks. We better keep ourselves common enough that the common people feel comfortable around us. You see, one of the reasons why we have a bus ministry is because it fulfills the Bible command that we love the poor. Let me tell you this. Number four, it's another chance to preach and teach the Bible. You see, we use the bus ride as a time to teach the Bible. When they're on that bus, those bus captains are teaching the Bible and teaching proprieties and teaching good things and preaching. You see, every one of those bus routes is like a rolling classroom. They sing songs like the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. I stand alone on the Word of God. You know, some of those boys and girls need to be taught. When they go back to that public school where their teachers want to teach them evolution and their friends want to entice them to do drugs and have sex and smoke dope, they need somebody to stand up on Sunday and say, you can stand alone, stand with Jesus, stand for the Bible. Our buses are rolling classrooms that teach them to stand for Jesus Christ. Hey, we have there's preaching that goes on in our buses. They preach, and we're training men on those buses, and they stand up and preach the gospel, and we preach to those kids. We have Bible memory verses on the bus. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." On our buses, we're learning the Bible. We have Bible drills on the buses where they learn how to flip the pages and find the right verse. You see, one of the reasons we have a bus ministry, it's another chance to preach and to teach the Bible to people. Let me tell you this, number five, the bus ministry is an excellent follow-up ministry. You know what we do? We get somebody saved in our bus ministry. We visit that new convert every week. We go back and we go back and we go back and we go back. We just keep following up on them, trying to help them to learn the things of the Lord. We follow up by the teaching on the bus. You realize something? If we pick somebody up an hour before church, we are following up on them and teaching them about Jesus for one whole hour before they ever arrive at Sunday school. Then we follow up on them in Sunday school. We follow up on them in church. Then we put them on a bus and they take an hour ride home. You know what we do all the way home? We teach them about Jesus and teach them about the Bible. It's a follow-up ministry and a quite thorough one. We teach them good music and good songs. We visit all the writers every week. We teach them about having a good attitude. We teach them songs like, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. We not only get them saved, we get them baptized. We have a permission slip that mom and dad will sign. We bring them and get them baptized. Why? That's what the Great Commission teaches. You get them saved and you get them baptized. It's our goal that they get saved, that they get baptized, that they grow spiritually, and that they stay in church. Here's our goal. I want every bus kid that gets saved, if they get saved when they're a kindergartner, I want them to stay in church all the way through first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade. I want them to still be in church in fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade and ninth grade. And when they go into high school in ninth grade, I want them to stay in church in 10th grade and 11th grade and 12th grade. Then I want them to become a young adult graduate from high school and still stay in church. I want them to get married and stay right here in church. I want them to grow up and have kids and stay right here in church. I want them to grow old right here in church. We're not just trying to produce people. We're trying to change lives. That's what we're trying to do. And the bus ministry is an excellent follow-up ministry because we follow up on those people that we reach. Number six, it also helps our reputation in the community. Oh, there's some that will turn their nose up at it. But let me tell you something. Those first-class buses are rolling billboards in this county. People see those buses, and I have them say all the time, well, I'll tell you what. Are you from that church out there with them fancy buses? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Some let their buses get nasty and trashy. I'm not for that. I think I ought to clean them up. Those are chariots. Those are limousines bringing souls to Jesus Christ. And I think they ought to be treated in a first-class way. People see that we care. People see that we provide free transportation. People see, hey, listen, I know this. I know if you have kids in the public school, I'll promise you this, they're not riding the bus free. You're paying for every penny of it. Well, here you ride free. You ride free. We visit the community. We let the community see that we love the poor. The goodness of our captains is seen by the whole community. The goodness of our workers seen by the whole community. I constantly hear comments in our community where people say, one of your teenagers come by and visited us, tried to get us to ride your bus route. They were so kind. They looked so nice and clean. And they were so generous. I'm very impressed with the young people at your church. Hey, I'm glad that our young people are in our bus ministry and our community seeing what we produce around here. And I happen to believe that a bus ministry helps your reputation in the community. Number seven, it also reminds us of what our situation could be. You know something? It wouldn't hurt some of you to go visit on a bus route someday. What you need to do is you need to go visit some dirty, poor home where there's not enough food in the fridge, where daddy drank his paycheck up. Mama doesn't care to bathe the kids. Wouldn't hurt some of you that are spoiled to go out on a bus route. If you go out on that bus route, you'd stop griping and complaining about what you have. Being around people who have terrible home relationships helps us to improve our own. Helping people who do not have helps us to appreciate what we do have. You see, I think that the bus ministry helps the workers to be reminded that their situation is a pretty good situation. Number eight, the bus ministry helps get the workers' eyes off of themselves. You know, too many people spend too much time caring about themselves. I could help you this evening, though this is not the only solution. But I'll tell you something. Some of you that are depressed all the time, I could help you. Is he going to give me a pill? Yeah. I'm going to get you to go out and give out the gospel. Get your eyes off of yourself. I'd help a bunch of you. You can get out and get to working on a bus route and go out and care about somebody and see somebody that's got a tougher time than you have. We are so spoiled in America, it's pathetic. It's time for somebody to stop spoiling yourself and go find some dirty little bus kid and spoil them for a little while. Go to somebody that doesn't have much and help them to gain a little. Get them saved. Get them into church. Change their life. Your weekend's all about you. What some of you need to do is you need to make a little bit more of your life about somebody else. Always buying things for ourselves. Why don't you buy some candy for the bus ministry? Someone say, well, you know, Brother Owens, I'd join that bus ministry. My heart's in it, but I can't. I have to work. Well, if your heart's so much in it, that day that you're working and making time and a half, why don't you take a little of that money and give it to the bus ministry, since your heart's in it? Let your family see you love people. You talk about a good thing to train your kids. Get their eyes off themselves, not to be stingy. Take some kids out there. Let them go and see the on the other side of the tracks for a little while. Ah, that'll change their attitude. The bus ministry is a ministry that helps us to get our eyes off of ourselves. And listen, I realize something. I realize that we'll get a little pocket of bus teenagers that sit right over here, and about every other week, I got to call them down in church and tell them to knock it off. You want to know something? The day that I have to stop doing that, this church is in trouble. Because the day I have to stop correcting them, it means we're not reaching any new ones. And the day we stop reaching them, we've lost the real cause of the local New Testament church. We need to reach people. Listen, if our church ever gets all cleaned up, so we're all as clean as a hound tooth, then suddenly we're not right with God. And I'll tell you why. Because we stop reaching the new ones. So you better bet your last dollar. There's always going to be somebody walking around here and you're going to go, I can't believe that. Look at them. Look how they're acting. Thank God for it. That they don't know how to act means they're not used to being in church. It means we're reaching somebody new. That's how it's supposed to be. Then you can go to half the churches. They got the same congregation week after week after week after week. They're all cleaned up. They're all impressed with each other. They all know each other. You can thank God you don't know everybody in this church. You don't know everybody in this church. You say, I don't like that. You're crazy. You ought to love that. You say, why? That means we're reaching more people. It's not the same old, but a bunch of dead Christians that look at each other and they're impressed with each other. Hey, let me tell you something. We ought to be reaching new people. We ought to be reaching new people. And it ought to be happening in the bus ministry is a great way of doing it. Like I said, I'm not going to preach to you. I'm just going to be calm and relaxed. The bus ministry helps us get our eyes off ourselves. The bus ministry builds leaders in the church. Bus captains are leaders in training. Bus captains are learning to love. They're learning to give. They're learning to organize. They're learning to solve problems. Learning to sacrifice and to build people. Bus captains are building their workers. Not using their workers. They're building their workers. They're learning to care. They're learning to live by schedule. They're learning to grow people. They're learning to fight the devil's discouragements. You see, the bus ministry helps to build leadership in people. It helps to build fellowship in people. Those workers are becoming leaders, and good leaders are good followers. Obedience is taught in the bus ministry. Listen, if you can't follow in the bus ministry, you can't be a Sunday school teacher someday. You're not going to be a deacon someday. Oh, learn to follow. Not only that, the bus ministry gives many people a place to serve. I counted, I think we have 89 bus workers in our bus ministry, both workers, drivers, and captains. We're getting ready to start a new bus route. Brother Stephen Davis, here in the next few weeks, is going to start a new bus route up in Hagerstown. Someone said to me, why are you going to Hagerstown? Because the Bible says go into the highways and the hedges. Now, let me tell you something. What does it mean when it says go into the highways? It means you're supposed to get out on the highway and go as far as you can possibly go to reach people. Don't tell me I shouldn't get on the highway and go reach people. It's scriptural. We'll be using these highways to shoot out there and find people that need Jesus Christ. We're starting a new bus route up in Hagerstown. Brother Davis is going to start it. We're starting a new Spanish bus route for Spanish-speaking people. Brother Rich Stoltz is going to start it. Now, this one's starting next weekend. We're going to go down. We're going to pick some people up here in Martinsburg, and we're going to go down to Winchester, Virginia, because there's a big pocket of Spanish-speaking people down there. Whether you speak English or not has nothing to do with someone's need of the gospel. We're going to go down there, and we're going to pick them up. By the way, I want to thank God for Patrick and Rachel Maynard. I'll tell you something. These folks every week clean our buses for us. They go to the inside of the buses and they scrub them down and they clean them up. You say, why do you do that? Those some of those kids that ride, they're dirty. I told you, those are limousines. Those are Cadillacs out there, and we're bringing precious souls to Jesus Christ. And I want those buses treated like that. You know, there's all levels of workers and understanding in our bus ministry. Some are new to it, and they're learning. Others, they know all about it. We start out, we let bus workers start at the seventh grade. They can get into our bus ministry. Now, if children younger than that are with their parents, they may go on the bus with their parents. But listen, we need drivers. We need mechanics. We need workers. We need people that say, well, someday we'll mature to become captains. Now, something else the bus ministry does, it gives folks a reason to step up in their Christian life, step up in their standards and their spiritual living. Bus workers are role models. You understand, a bus worker is someone that's standing before the crowd. They're representing our church, and they're role models. They're leaders. There's a CD and a tape out here on the table in the hallway. It's called Help, I Need Role Models. It tells a little bit about the role model concept, but they're set up as examples. Our current workers, you better remember that. You're an example. You're an example. You're to be, hey, those kids on that bus, you should be living at a higher spiritual level than them. You're supposed to be. You are their example. You're the worker. Now, let me tell you, we have some requirements. You can't just join our bus ministry. There's some requirements. There's a little interview process. You'll interview with Brother Bacon. He'll ask you some questions and ask you to make some commitments about being in the ministry. You have to be a member of our church. Have to be saved and baptized. Have to be seventh grade or above, or working with your parents. You have to be a tither. You have to be faithful to the church services. You couldn't come and join this bus ministry. If you come to church once every 2 weeks, you can't join our bus ministry. You need someone to come pick you up on a bus and get you into church is what you need. But if you're faithful to church, you could join that bus ministry. You need to be interested in the souls of men and a desire to win people to Christ. You need to be loyal to the program. You got to be separate from the world and have a good testimony. Men will have to keep their hair cut like a man. A lady will have to dress like a lady on and off our property. We have a bus meeting every Saturday morning at 9. You have to be faithful to that. And you workers, remember, you were interviewed and told you had to be at that workers meeting at 9 o'clock. You have to ride on your bus on Sundays. You know something? You say, Brother Owens, I'd be willing to do all that. Then you could step up and be a bus worker. But I wonder, what's in your life that you're not willing to take out so you could go help somebody? Because life's really not all about others for you. It's all about you for you. But the bus ministry gives someone a chance to step up in their spiritual life and serve God. I believe this, and I'm finished. The bus ministry brings God's financial blessings to a church. You say, what? It brings God's financial blessings to a church? Absolutely. You say, those bus kids bring in a lot of money? Well, in a way. Yeah, in a way. You say, Brother Owens, what, you got some big giver? Uh-huh. Yeah, the biggest giver. Say, well, who's the big giver that makes that ministry possible? Jesus. Because I'll tell you something. God will watch out for a church that'll watch out for the poor. God will watch out for a church that keeps their eyes on the needy. God will watch out for a church and provide for a church that cares. You know something? No, those bus kids can't give any money. That's why a lot of churches wouldn't go pick them up. Well, what are we going to get out of it? Who taught you that Christianity was getting something out of people? They may take the way our church looks socially. You're a social slob. Yeah, right. You don't impress God a lick. Your fancy car, your fancy clothes don't impress God. Tell you what impresses God. Buses bringing in little boys and girls so they can get saved at church and the people loving them as if they love their own children. The bus ministry is an expensive ministry. And we have to insure all those buses. We have to pay $2.20 a gallon for gas. Say, boy, did you have to stop running the buses when gas was $3 a gallon? No, we didn't start running the buses because gas was cheap, and we're not going to stop running the buses because gas is expensive. We'll shut the air conditioning off before we'll stop running the buses. You say, what? What? You show me in the Bible where it says you need air conditioning in a church. Oh, isn't that exciting? Sure, it's expensive to buy a bus and to maintain a bus. But I'll tell you this. Truly spiritual people believe in investing in a ministry that reaches the poor. Had a businessman in the community hand us a $1,500 check the other day, said, I want this to go toward your bus ministry. He come to church here every once in a while. But he knows what we stand for. And he's not giving it to the uppity church downtown, the snotty one. One that wouldn't want in buses or dirty old bus kids. God will bless a church that reaches the poor. God holds in his hands the purse string to all the rich people. The bus ministry may or may not be an attendance builder. But even if it was not an attendance builder, I'd still run buses because it's a soul winning ministry. I don't go reach bus kids to build my attendance. I go reach bus kids to build bus kids. Amen. We're not trying to use them to make ourselves look good. And bus captains, you better remember that. If I get the hint that you think that you're a hot shot just because you had a big attendance and you're more concerned about your attendance than you are the people riding your bus, you may not be a bus captain for long. Your big attendance doesn't impress me. Skunks can draw flies. You just drawing a big crowd doesn't impress me. You better be interested in changing the lives of people. That's what it's really all about. There's some churches think they're really hot rod because they get a big attendance. You know, big attendances are not really what it's all about. It's reaching all the people you can with the right attitude. We're getting ready. Somebody gave us some money. We're going to post a great big attendance board out here in our missions area. Big attendance board. We're going to start posting the bus attendances every week so you can see how the bus ministry is doing and how we're growing the bus ministry. I think Jesus, all the way back, said to Peter, from now on you're going to fish for men. And I just showed you how you can pack one vehicle full of fish and bring them to the Savior. It's probably in the New Testament where the bus ministry concept was originated, when Jesus said, go reach them in the masses and bring them to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. I wish you'd get saved. But in a moment, we're going to have a little altar call. And the altar call is going to be basically about the bus ministry. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? Do you need the Savior? Are you born again? If you're not born again, I wish you'd let me pray for you. I wish you'd get saved. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I do not know that I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Someone else. Say, I'm not saved. God bless you. If you're not saved, here's what I want you to do. In a moment, we're going to have the altar call. And what that means, in a moment, I'll turn to the instrumentalists and they'll begin to play. When they begin to play, the choir will begin to sing. When the choir begins to sing, the congregation will stand. Then if you need to be born again, you just leave your seat. You walk toward the front. You walk up to a man and you say to him, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Now, the men sitting on this platform will be standing at the front of each aisle. If you need to be saved, I want you to come. There'll be others coming. You will not be alone. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God's spoken my heart about something this evening, and you'll raise your hand. I see hands all over the building, lots of hands. Really, in a way, you may put those hands down. My invitation to you tonight will be in two parts. The first, we're going to check and give someone a chance to be saved, because there have been more than one hand raised about salvation tonight. Then I'm going to further the invitation in a moment in regard to the bus ministry. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, leave your seat, come toward the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. If you're not saved, come. Just leave your seat, walk toward the front. There's a man at each aisle. Where's my man for that aisle right there? Whoever's supposed to be at that aisle, I need him there. If you're not saved, you come. You come, you say to one of these men, say, I need to be born again. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. You come and get saved. You better thank God that this church loves people. This whole night's been all about the bus ministry. It's a ministry of care. It's a ministry of love. We have people coming to be saved, and thank God for it. name takers, you won't need to take any names immediately. You'll just hang on for me for a moment. Assistant pastor, don't let name takers take care of your business for you. Men are there to help meet the needs of the people. Name takers shouldn't have to be directing converse. Assistant pastor's supposed to do that. Young people, don't be leaving the auditorium unless you need to step out for a personal reason. If not, you stay right in the auditorium. Are you saved? If not, why don't you come? Brother Nash, hold the choir for a second. Hang on just a second. I want everybody to look up at me for a minute. I'll tell you what I'd like. I'd like all my bus captains to come up here and stand behind me on this platform for a second. Bus captains, just come up here real quickly. Don't linger. You just come on. Come up here and stand. Mrs. Doss, very lightly, continue to play the invitation music. Now, give me my drivers. Bus drivers, come on up here. Come on up here and join these people. Come up here, drivers. And folks, you might have to move back a little bit. We're gonna use this platform. All my drivers, come on up here. I need bus drivers. I need somebody that's willing to step up and be a bus driver. We struggle sometimes finding drivers to drive on our bus routes. Come on up here, men. Come on all the way in. Boy, we need people that be willing to use their leadership in the bus ministry. Oh, now, you heard the requirements. You just won't step out and we'll put you in. See, to me, being in the bus ministry is big stuff. Being a captain on a bus route, it's no little thing to me. If you're an adult worker in my bus ministry, you come on up here. All the rest of the adult workers, come on up here. Come on up here and join us on this platform. In the choir, you go ahead and step out. Adult workers, come on up here and join us. Come on all the way up on the platform, folks. I don't want you to be shy. I want you to pack in here behind me. Just come on up here. Just come on up. Come all the way up. The adult workers. If you're a teenager that is a worker in the bus ministry and you're 10th grade or above, I want you to come on up here with me. 10th grade or above. 10th, 11th, 12th grade. Come on up. All the way up on the platform. Come on all the way up. You'll have to, it'll be snug up here. Come on up here. Come on up. Some of you can come over here on this side, but I'm going to get you all on the platform with me. Come on up. All the way up. If you're 7th grade and above, come on up here and join us. You're a worker in the bus ministry, 7th grade above. Come all the way up. Come on up there here, Jared. Come over here by the preacher. Come on, help me now. All of you, come on. Spread yourselves out, Brother Bush. I want to make sure the bottom part of the altar is as empty as I can get it and pack it in here. You know what these people spend their time doing, trying to get people saved, bringing people to church? You get excited at the altar call many times just because of these folks right here. Hey, you better thank God you got a youth department that's all fired up about reaching people. They're not out doing drugs, fornicating, going to rock and roll concerts. You know what? I think there's some people out there that really ought to be up here. I think there's somebody out there. You say, I'd like to have a ministry. You could have. You heard the requirements. Say, Brother Owens, I think this is the ministry for me. I think maybe I need to join the bus ministry. Well, we're getting ready to start 2 new bus routes. We don't have enough workers. We don't have enough drivers. You say, I don't know anything about it. Neither do half of these people. But they're learning. They're learning. You say, Brother Owens, If God will use me, I'm willing to make whatever changes are necessary in my life. I want to step up. I would like to get into the bus ministry. If you're like that and you'll join these people, I want you to come down here. And Brother Bush, Brother Guin, if anybody comes, I want them to stand right down there on the lower level. Maybe you've already come tonight. You say, I want to get back in the bus ministry. You come up here and stand. You come up here and stand. You say, that's what I want to do. Here they come. Have them all standing down front. I don't want them to mix with my crowd up here. You say, I think I'd like to get in the bus ministry. I'd like to get in the bus ministry. Name taker, spread yourself all the way across this crowd that's joining us right now and start taking names. I think I'd like to get in the bus ministry. Work quickly. If you're an extra name taker, I'm going to need you because a whole bunch of people just came. I'd be shocked if 25 people just didn't walk the aisle and say, you know what? I want to get in that thing right there. I want to get in that thing. Now remember, if your parents are in the bus ministry and you're under 7th grade, you may join it. But it's 7th grade and above, and you got to meet the requirements. Choir, can you see Brother Nash? That's too bad. Sing some more of the invitation song. Some of you that are on the platform, you pray somebody else might come. Who's in the balcony that needs to say, you know what? I'm willing. I'm willing. There's some of you, you never win anybody to Jesus Christ. You never do anything for God. You just come to church. Say, I need a ministry. Well, this might be it. Say, I'd like to get involved in a ministry like that. Name takers, work quickly. You don't need full addresses. Get me names in the bus ministry decision. Just get me full names in the bus ministry decision. Do you have any idea what God could do with an army of people that want to go out and reach others for Jesus Christ through a bus ministry? Say, what are you doing? We're recruiting. Recruiting what? Soul winners. Bus drivers. There are some of you out there, you men, you have mechanical abilities. And you ought to say, you know what? I'd like to help get some of those buses rolling. I'd like to help Chuck Little keep the buses rolling. I'd like to help Brother Malak keep the buses rolling. I'd like to help those men that show up and help. Help them keep the buses rolling. Work quickly, name takers. Check and double check for me. Those of you, and assistant pastors, help me now. Those of you that have come forward and had your name taken, assistant pastors, get them a seat down front here in one of these couple rows. We're going to find out how many people surrender their lives to the bus ministry tonight. You get them a seat. Those of you that are on the platform, just be still for a second, if you will. Help them out, assistant pastors. Work quickly. Any assistant pastor that still has a name that's been taken, please get it to me right away. Those of you that had your name taken, just have a seat there toward the front. Give me the last of the names, men. Congregation, have a seat. Those of you that are on the platform, if you'll make your way back to your seats, please. Mrs. Dawes, play just a little music while they're heading back to their seats, if you will. Now, if I call your name, it means you've made some sort of a decision tonight, and I want you to stand. Rachel and Miriam Lowther, where are you at? If you'll stand, please. These two young ladies have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They'd like to follow the Lord in believers' baptism tonight. Congratulations. And folks, I tell you what you'll have to do. You'll have to hold your applause because the stack of decision slips are very thick. And if we applaud for everyone, we'll be here till midnight. Brenda Stevens, where you at, Brenda? Right over here is Brenda. Brenda's from up in Hagerstown. This is a bus kid's grandma this evening trusting Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And then we have others who have made a decision tonight, and these are all about joining the bus ministry. You heard about it. When I call your name, please stand. Carmen Davis. Mrs. Davis says this: I want to dedicate. Oh, it says here, she's going to dedicate herself to the bus ministry. God bless you, Carmen. Amen. Mrs. Klepkatch, and this is the decision from this morning. And where are you? Right over here. She says this: I do not want to be lured by Satan, no matter what the cost. Delaney Smith, where are you at, Delaney? She says, I want to tell more people about Jesus Christ. Joshua Hamm. Brother Hamm comes tonight, and I know he knows something about the bus ministry. He says, I want to start working in the bus ministry again. God bless you. Brenda Schreck, where are you at, Brenda? Brenda comes this evening and she says, I want to become a bus worker. That's Brenda Shirk. And then Ellen Moore, where you at, Mrs. Moore? She says this: I'm surrendering to work in the bus ministry. Joshua Moore. Joshua comes this evening and he says, I want to be in the bus ministry. Natasha Hall, she said, I want to join the bus ministry. God bless you, Natasha. George Deal, where you at, George? George says, it's time to become a bus worker. Elizabeth Deal, she says, it's time to become a bus worker. Rachel Barnes. Rachel comes. She says, I want to be a bus worker. Amy Greenlee. Where are you at, Amy? I'm looking for her. Help me out, folks. Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Greenlee. She is going to join the bus ministry. Carol Jean Montgomery, listen to this. She wants to join the bus ministry. Mrs. Montgomery, I think, was reached through the bus ministry, and her and her husband loved the bus ministry for years. God bless you. Wanda Myers, she says this. She says, I want to be a bus worker. Tiffany McDonald. Tiffany says, I want to be a bus worker. Jeffrey Lopez, where you at, Jeff? Help me out. Right back here. He says, I want to join the bus ministry. Devin Dick. Of course, Devin and his dad, they'll work together in the bus ministry. Tori Myers. Where you at, Tori? Tori says, I want to join the bus ministry. Brittany Gewen. Brittany says, I'd like to be a bus worker. Philip Deal. Philip says, I want to be a bus worker. He's right over here. Tom Jerkovitz. Brother Jerkovitz, God bless you. He says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Amen. Caleb Morales, where you at, Caleb? Caleb, you can join the bus ministry with your dad. Fantastic. Brittany Conaway, where you at, Brittany? Brittany says, I want to be in the bus ministry. Ray Morales. Well, looks like we got Dad, too. And Dad's going to join the bus ministry. Sandy Schutz, where you at, Sandy? God bless you, Sandy. Going to join the bus ministry. Jacob Kidwell, where you at, Jake? Right over here. Going to join the bus ministry. Amanda Myers, where you at, Amanda? Help me out. Amanda says, I'm going to join the bus ministry. Paul Shreve. Paul says, I'd like to get into the bus ministry. Jack Edward, where are you at? Jack, right down front, he said, I want to be a bus worker. Emily Davis. Emily says she's going to help her mom and dad in the bus ministry. Fantastic. Lori Fleming. Lori going to join Chuck, and she's going to help in the bus ministry. Hope Martin. Hope has been bothering me about being in the bus ministry, so Hope is surrendering to be in the bus ministry tonight. Travis Bishop. Travis says he wants to get involved somehow in the bus ministry. Joyce May. Joyce says, I want to be in the bus ministry. Lori Butts. Lori says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Mary Morris. Mrs. Morris, she says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Jeff Bush. He says, I want to get in the bus ministry. And let's see, Sarah Yates. Where are you at? Sarah says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Tiffany Pop. Tiffany says, I want to be in the bus ministry. Wiley Watson. Wiley says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Hannah Stoltz. Hannah says, I want to get in that bus ministry. Natasha Cole. I want to get in the bus ministry. Jim Spielis. I want to get in the bus ministry. Jasmine Bartley. And she says, I want to get in the bus ministry. Faith Greenlee. I want to be in the bus ministry. Cassie Ellswick. Where are you at, Cassie? She wants to join the bus ministry. Jeannie Knipe. I want to join the bus ministry. Katie Knipe says, I want to join the bus ministry. Abigail Leto. I want to join the bus ministry. I don't know how many, but I can guarantee you this. That's quite an accomplishment for the evening. And do you realize that every one of those people that actually will do what we instruct them to do are going to begin influencing people for Jesus Christ? They'll begin winning people to Christ and bringing people to the Lord. We're going to have a baptismal service, and then we'll be able to go. We're waiting, I think, for just a couple more. Let me tell you this. I have exactly 50 names of people that are wanting to join and work in our bus ministry. Now, let me tell you a little something about that. That means this. We'll be in touch with you. We'll be making some announcements. We'll be meeting with you and talking with you. Those rules that I gave you, those are strict rules. We don't bend those rules. We expect everyone to keep the rules to be in the bus ministry. It's an honor to be in a bus ministry. But 50 people, and I'll tell you what I love about it, many, many of them were adults and men, and thank God for that. Stand to your feet if you will. And you know something, I think we ought to give the Lord a hand this evening. What a wonderful evening we've had. Brother Nash, you come lead us in our victory song.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever.
You out here on a table, there is a CD out there called Church Buses in the Bible, preached by Dr. Jack Hiles. There's a CD and a cassette tape called Help. I need role models. A bunch of you that say, I want to be a role model where I can be used in the leadership of the church. You need to purchase one of those tapes, but it'll give you an idea of what we mean by being a role model. Again, let me remind you, if you surrendered your life to be a part of the bus ministry, we'll do exactly what we said. There'll be an interview process for the agent, and I will get with you, and we'll be talking with you about getting you involved in the bus ministry. And let's make it so that 40 years from now, this church is still busing people in and winning them to Jesus Christ. Thanks to all of you that made this evening possible. Let me pray for you as we're dismissed. Father, take what's been done and what's been said in this room tonight and use it to your glory. Thank you for the souls that have been saved, the people that have been baptized, the lives that have been challenged, the people that have been honored. And thank you for the hearts that were tender enough to surrender their lives to become a part of this great ministry. Now bless us, Lord, and use us. Give us a good week. Help those who are hurting in a special way. And Father, please, oh please, bring us back Tuesday night for soul winning. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, help us to be full force for our missions conference. Bless our bus ministry. Bless our people. We love you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, don't go away mad. Just go away. Sing for us, choir. You need to get out there and purchase one of those CDs or tapes. Please do so. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.